Hi, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast. It's for the week of May 15th, and with me is Jason Koskrie. How you doing, buddy? He's pinch hitting for Jim Allen. How's it going, man?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. All right, well, with Jim, it's a long, long story. It involves a backpack and a train and a plane and half a brain, maybe. I don't know.
Espionage.
He will let you know about it next week when he's back on the show, hopefully. And I'll let you guys figure it out, from those clues I gave you. But I believe he'll be back next week, but we're thrilled to have Jason spell him this week. And I really appreciate you stepping in, man.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
All right. On this week's show, we've got a chat with Randy Messenger of the Hanshin Tigers, and we're going to talk about Hanshin and the PL and the CL. So let's start swinging.
Clearing the bases!
All right, so I went out to Tokyo Dome on Wednesday and talked to Big Randy, and I tell you, he really is one of the friendliest guys you will meet in top-level baseball anywhere. I'm sure you've talked to him. In fact, I know you talked to him because you did a story that appeared after he won his second Pitcher of the Month award in his career, and that was the Pitcher of the Month award for April, with the four victories and all that stuff. And the team hasn't lost a game that he has started this year. He's 5-0, and he was opening day starter for the second year in a row this year and won the team top 12 games last season. He's a monster competitor, a hard worker, a hard thrower, and a thinking man's pitcher he has become, and you'll hear about that in the interview. And we talked before they played the Giants, and I spoke with him during the stretch, when the guys go out there while the home team is batting at Tokyo Dome normally and do the stretch, and got a chance to talk to him at that time. And then we went into the visitor's mirror room, which is considerably smaller than the Giants' mirror room.
Very, very much smaller.
And I think it was Kuji was in there, who was having a cigarette, and people were walking through. And it was nice. It's nice. I like it. It's cozy back there.
But it's quaint.
Yeah, it can be a high traffic place. But he's in his eighth year with the Tigers. He is 78-65 with a 3.02 ERA over that time, and he's been incredibly consistent throughout his career here. He's going to be 36 on August 13th, and if he comes back next year, which we figure he will be considered a non-import player and will not count against the quota for import players or non-Japanese roster players. So anyway, it was a good talk. Let's take a listen to what Randy had to say. Joining us again for the first time in a long time is Randy Messenger of the Tigers. Thanks for your time. I appreciate it.
No problem. It's actually good here.
Yeah. Now, you're coming off your second Pitcher of the Month award. Congratulations on that.
Thank you. It's definitely a pleasure to get one of those again in the books.
Yeah. Been a long time between them, but yeah. you guys got to score some runs for you, and then they maybe come a little bit often since they base them on wins. But anyway, let's jump right in. Before last season, the rookie skipper at the time, Tomoaki Kanemoto, talked about rebuilding while contending. Now, what did you think of that statement as a player?
I was all for it. I mean, we have a lot of young kids that were coming up at the time that definitely could contribute to the team. And it was just a matter of them getting in game situations and getting to play under the lights with a lot of fans in the stands. You know, it's a little different atmosphere than playing down in Megan. So I was definitely all for it. You know, like I said, these young kids can play, and I was ready for it.
Now, you guys are off to a good start. What's the focus for you personally this year?
Just doing what I've always been doing in the past, you know, trying to go as deep into the ballgame as I possibly can, you know, always giving the team an opportunity to win. If I don't win, but the team wins, that's all that matters, you know. So, like I said, just going deep into the ballgames.
Now, all these teams know you in the Central League. How do you stay so consistent over a long period of time like this?
It's a game of adjustments, you know. It's what you always hear.
Well, don't you run out of adjustments? You're only one you.
Yeah. But there's still, you know, you got to stick with your strengths, and then you got to almost just be a little more crisp at times, you know. Start pitching a lot more instead of throwing, you know, and that's what I got into a bad habit of. Towards the beginning of the season last year, I was throwing too much instead of pitching. So this year, I've just relaxed a lot more and not let other things affect my pitching.
other things. You opened a can of worms.
Guys in black.
Whom we all want to kill at times. Okay, you guys have won a lot of series early on. Now, what has changed for the Tigers this season as opposed to last season?
Just the atmosphere. These guys, you know, they got a year under their belt. They're a lot more comfortable now. Big addition, you know, Itoy's son coming in. And, you know, the veteran guy is picking it up. And then, obviously, you know, young guys that are stepping up that we didn't expect to.
Now, you've beaten the Carp early in some of these matchups. Why have you guys had so much success against those guys in particular?
Just, you know, never die attitude. We've been down in games, and we come back to beat them in those games as well. So, like I said, these young guys, they got a lot of fight in them. And it's showing on the field, and it's especially showing this season, especially against them. So they're just, they don't want to lose.
You say especially against them. How important is it to bop those guys in the nose, the defending champions? How important is it to beat them and to beat them the way you have beaten them in these games?
Yeah, last year they kicked our butts a lot, you know, so it was pretty much disappointing, even though we did have such a young team. But towards the end of the year, we were playing a lot better baseball, and we just couldn't get over that hump, you know. And this year, like I said, I told the media early on in the season, it's a new year. You know, nobody's a champion anymore. You're fighting for that same U show. So it's, like I said, these young kids, man, they're hungry. They want to prove themselves.
Okay. Now, the last time you were on years and years ago, I don't remember exactly when it was, we discussed catchers, and you said Fuji was a guy you really liked to throw to. Now, he's gone now, and you're breaking in a new crop of guys behind the plate. What's that like?
You know, Fuji was just a veteran guy. You know, you could always depend on him regardless. So you didn't have to worry too much. You know, with younger guys, you tend to have to second guess yourself at times. But we've had a lot of discussions, you know, off the field or, you know, after bullpens, just explaining to him, Umeno especially, you know, just have confidence. It doesn't matter if there's an older guy out there on the mound. You know, you guys need to work together as a team. You know, you're a battery for a reason. So don't be afraid to go out there. And if you feel you need to throw a certain pitch in a certain situation, tell that guy, look, I think this is a better pitch than what you want to throw. Don't be afraid to stand up and, you know, make your voice be heard.
Do we overestimate that dynamic in the media? And I guess maybe as fans too, do we overestimate the pitcher-catcher relationship?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you got to know. I mean, these guys think of how many pitchers they got to know, you know, their weaknesses and strengths, you know, and their tendencies and everything. It's definitely a very difficult job for them. But the more that they get to, you know, be in game situation with those guys, they tend to just flow. And that's what Umeno's been doing really well this year.
Okay. Who's another catcher you see as a guy who can be a regular maybe?
I love throwing Okazaki, but, you know, the organization, they feel that he's more of a backup guy. We have a couple young kids down in the minor leagues. Sakamoto's good defensively, and then we just picked up a rookie catcher this year. And, you know, you never know. It's just game situation. That's, you know, that's going to tell.
Okay. Now, you guys, you have this pitching staff that I really liked, but you've got this defense that I was concerned about coming into the season. Let's focus on the pitching staff right now. Who has developed into a nice surprise for you guys?
Hojo, especially. I mean, he did a great job last year.
I mean, pitcher, I'm sorry.
Oh, pitcher, yeah. Sorry. Yeah, oh. I'd probably say Iwasada. You know, he's doing really well, and Akiyama turned it around this year, and it seems like his focus is really on pitching and helping this team win and not worrying about if I'm going to get sent down or not. Mm-hmm. He's going out there, and he's letting his presence be known that he belongs here.
What about Fujinami's development? I remember we talked about that a couple of years ago when you were on. How's his development going in here?
It's going better. As long as he keeps, you know, worried about pitching instead of throwing. You know, that's what I always tell him. Don't worry about the radar gun. There's times where you need to hump up and, you know, let it eat, but there's times where, you know, 98% of the time you got to pitch. You know, and his last outing, he showed that he actually pitched and he had a really good outing.
All right, now, you had an issue with the team a couple seasons back, and we had your agent on the show. What happened with that situation that you can share with us, and how's the situation with the team now?
The situation's good. I mean, I was just, you know, frustrated because I just feel, you know, I'm the guy at the staff, you know, and I feel like if I'm going out there, you know, every 5 days, every, you know, 6 days, I'm definitely helping the team get to the, you know, win series. And now the relationship's great. You know, Connie Moto believes in me a lot, which is awesome. You know, that's always huge having your manager on your side and, you know, the pitching coaches as well.
All right, last question. You'll be considered a non-import player on the roster next year. How important is that for you? Because we had Dennis Sarfate on the show earlier this season. Right. He said next year he'll be considered, you know, Japanese. Right. How important is that for you?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. You know, it seems like it was just last year when I got here, my first year, 2010. And I think it's helpful for not just myself, but the team as well. You know, we get to have an extra foreigner on the roster, regardless if it's a pitcher or not. So I think it's a win-win situation for both of us.
All right. Well, it looks like you guys have been a win-win situation, even though that defense is still needs some work. But yeah. I think you guys have been covering it with the bats, so and with the guys on the mound. So keep up the good work.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you, buddy.
No problem.
All right. Thanks again, Big Mess. I appreciate the time. You talked to him the other day.
I did.
I mean, I saw the article, and he seemed really happy and everything. But what stood out for you in this interview here?
I always like to hear what Randy has to say about Fujinami, because Fujinami's still up and coming, and Randy has been around. He's been around, you know, in America, North America. He's been around here, so he knows the game. He knows pitching. So I'm always interested to hear what he's got to say about Fujinami, and I think he's right. Fujinami has to start pitching more, and I think he was trying to do that the last time I saw him, which was in person at Jingu. And he ended up, I think he walks, what, maybe seven batters. So he's still having trouble hitting the strikes. I don't know if that was his attempt at trying to nibble, trying to pitch, but the Swallows weren't really having it that day. But he still got a lot of guys out. He still made pitches when he had to make pitches. So he did do a lot better than he usually does, but he still, you know, he still got problems with the strike zone. A lot of times he misses a lot of pitches. So I'm always interested in hearing what Randy has to say about him, because Randy before was saying that he needed to put on some weight and that he'd be better once he got a little bit stronger. And now he's saying he needs to pitch more, which he does. So that part interested me about Randy's interview.
Yeah, I liked asking him about that, and I think you've listened to the show for a few years now, and you know that I like to ask him about the top pitchers in the system, in their organization, and I always turn around and ask about Fujinami, because it seemed like at the beginning, when Fujinami was drafted, that Randy kind of wanted to take him under his wing and help in the developmental process of Fujinami making him a pitcher, since they both throw hard. And for some reason, it seems like that relationship hasn't developed parallel. One guy is going one direction and the other a different direction. So I don't know what's up with that. I would think that if you were a Fujinami, you could look at what Randy is doing at 30 plus years old and try to mimic some of the things that he does. And we don't see that happening. And I don't know if it's more control or just mechanics, because he is still long and lanky, and he's still kind of a baby giraffe in the sense that he doesn't look great doing things, physical things. He still looks like his legs are too long and his arms are too long, and they keep getting in the way. Yeah. At times, not all the time. So athletically, I'd like to see that get better, but you know, some guys just mature a little bit later, and I think when he puts it all together, he'll be Tomoyuki Sugano kind of shutdown guy every time out.
I think he's gotten a little bigger this year. I know he worked. He was one of the parade of guys who went to work out at the U Darvish, you know, camp, Team Darvish or whatever. Uh-huh. And you know, he was Team Maeda a couple of years ago. This year he's Team Darvish, but he's a little bit bigger. And I don't know. He didn't put like a ton of muscle on, but I do remember when Ohtani initially got bigger, it took him a while to kind of, I think, get his mechanics adjusted to his body. And maybe this year Fujinami's just taking a little bit of time. If he has indeed gotten markedly stronger, it might be taking him a little time to just figure out his mechanics, figure out what he can do. And also don't know, especially with a team like Hanshin, which is not unlike Yomiuri, he could be could be a product of overcoaching. Maybe he would like to, you know, do some of the things that Randy's doing. Maybe Randy has been giving him some pointers, and then you've got three coaches coming over saying, do this, do this, do this. And because, I mean, that kid, he got drafted, he's just been under enormous pressure, not unlike Otani has been, and it's magnified being with Hanshin. So I don't know if he's been overcoached. I don't know if it's just him not having matured, like you said, as much as he, you know, maybe he's going to mature down the line, or if it's him just still trying to work out his mechanics. But, you know, he's not a bad pitcher. It's just a lot of times his control gets a little away from him, it seems.
Yeah, and I think you might remember, or maybe I'm just remembering a chat in front of the bench, but I think Randy talked before on the show even about the focus of the young man not being maybe what it could be in terms of trying to improve as a pitcher. And maybe that focus is still, you know, blurry. It hasn't sharpened that. Once that comes around, I still think he's got all the tools. And
yeah.
Once he puts it all together, I think he's going to be shut down. I think one of the things that stood out for me was how Randy talked about the catchers. And
yeah.
It seemed that, you know, and I know this is true for all these pitchers, that they work with these guys in camp. I complain every year that camp starts too early. There's snow on the ground in a lot of the parts of the country. But the way he rattled off all the names of the catchers in the system, it seems like he has thrown to them all this year and at some point. And, you know, him saying, yeah, I like Sakamoto and I think he should be up and playing. And the organization doesn't seem to think so. They think of him more as a backup. You can see that there's a pipeline of communication there, which I really liked. But remember, he talked about Fuji and the fact that Fuji would block his pitches in the dirt, and that he had real confidence throwing the ball down low to a catcher like that. Now he's breaking in this new crop. So, you know, he did say, I don't know if he understood the question when I said, do we overestimate that relationship? And he said, I think so. So I'm like, well, I guess you're agreeing that it's important. So, and obviously the battery, you know, they even have a special award for it here in Japan, and those are important. But, you know, it would seem to me that the most important thing that these catchers can do is what he said, know the pitching staff first and their strengths and weaknesses, and then know the weaknesses of the hitters and how you want to attack them. And I've seen Randy shake off some catchers before, but I'm going to try to pay more attention to see who's catching and how much he shakes off when they're catching. I'm going to try to look for that stuff more. But I found it fascinating he was talking about the catching and actually saying that, look, these young catchers have to go out to the mound and tell these veteran pitchers, hey, I think this is the best pitch to throw. Can you imagine doing that with Bob Gibson on the mound? Bob Gibson didn't want a catcher walking halfway to the mound, much less telling him what to throw. He's throwing the ball right back at the catcher.
it does make sense, though, because it's what Randy was saying, especially about the confidence, because it's one of the things Mark Kroon, you know, I know you remember him with the Giants. He used to always tell me that, you know, he had supreme confidence in Abe, and that made him a better pitcher.
Right.
Because he knew, you know, especially when he threw his forkball, he said he didn't have to worry about, like, he didn't have to take anything off of it. He didn't have to do it anything special to it, because he knew Abe was going to stop it. And if there's a ball in the dirt, Abe was going to be there. And I'm sure that a lot of the Giants pitchers had, you know, that kind of confidence in Abe. You would see it at times. I remember during the Japan series in 2008, when it was Seth was pitching in game 3, I think, against Cebu, and Abe, for whatever reason, wasn't catching, and there was just so much miscommunication between Seth and the catcher. I don't remember who it was. I think it was Kazunori Sudaoka, but I'm not sure. But that relationship is really big. You see it with Chris Johnson and Ishihara a couple years ago. And so, yeah, I think with Randy breaking these guys in, that's going to be something that could be really important, because injuries or just him feeling comfortable and being a better pitcher, maybe that kind of thing will also help Fujinami and the other pitchers on the staff as these young catchers can, like, gain more confidence.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can really, really respect what Shinosuke Abe, guys like that, have done in Japanese baseball, Motonobu Tanishige. these guys not only get all the infielders in the position, they're calling the pitches, they're positioning guys. I mean, when he was a player, obviously, Tanishige, whom I saw that night. I saw him on Wednesday. He looked so refreshed.
Yeah.
Well, he had his hair all perfect. He was doing TV color commentary. His hair was all perfect. He had a preppy kind of, you know, 1980s kind of look to him.
He can manage every team and never lose.
Yeah, and I started talking about it. I said, hey, man, now you know what it's like being on this side. You don't have to throw the ball. You don't have to hit the ball. You just have to watch the ball. Keep your eye on the ball. That's all you have to do. He said, yeah, it's pretty nice. But, yeah, so you get a real appreciation for what these catchers do in this situation, when we talk to a pitcher and see how much respect and how much he relies on the catchers. And there's one catcher, I think, who's a young catcher who might be able to go out to the mound these days probably and tell a pitcher what to throw. And I think that's Yuichi Adachi of the Rakuten Eagles, because there's so many young pitchers now on that team. And, I've heard that he's doing really well in terms of growing as a catcher. I mean, he got some play last year, and that has helped. But the injury of Motohiro Shima has allowed him to play almost every day, and he's getting a lot of praise for the way he's handling the pitcher. So I don't know about the Tigers guys, but you know, they're learning, they're coming along, and it seems like Randy has some trust in them. I mean, at least he knows them all, and he knows their tendencies as well, because you have to know the tendencies of your catcher. Can I throw this ball here and rely on him to catch it or stop it, or just like you talked about Greisinger throwing in the Japan series.
It's easy for Mets to say, come out and tell me, if y'all think I should throw this ball or not. And it's, it's easy to say that. It's not so easy in the sixth inning, and he might be a little upset about something, and here this catcher comes out and say, I need you to throw this.
Yeah, he's already upset about the umpire.
Yeah.
The guys in black, as he referred them to. Men in black. Yeah, but he is upset. But all right, well, let's talk about the Tigers now. They're in first place here in May. It's still May, folks, so I'm not going to get all that excited. But Randy and I shot the breeze, as I was saying before we did the interview. We were shooting the breeze during the stretch, and I asked him about the defense. I asked him about Yoshio Itoi, my man crush man. And he said, oh man, I'm so happy to have this guy on the team. And I said, yeah, but he looks like a different player to me. There's two aspects, and we'll get into one of them later, because I did talk to their bench coach about Itoi. But the thing that I was talking to Randy about is, I said, look, when I saw this guy swing, I just couldn't believe that he would miss a ball. I mean, he's got such a beautiful swing. I think he has the most beautiful swing of anybody in MPV. Every time I saw him swing, I just thought he was going to crush the ball. And then, his time at Oryx was so-so. And I thought, well, maybe part of that is because Oryx never really had another guy in the lineup with a lot of power who was steady and stayed there the whole time he was there. So he had a few, and they were good during stretches, but he was basically the man. And I think that put some pressure on Itoi to try to produce. And he didn't want to take walks because he figured he'd be left on base. So he just, the thing that Randy and I both pointed to, Randy saying it first and I saying exactly that's what I was thinking, was that I'm seeing a more disciplined hitter at the plate who's not swinging at pitches he can't really do anything with, or when he does take swings, he really is zeroed in or narrowed his zone. Now you're seeing better results from him. What have you seen?
He's just such a good hitter. I mean,
that's the thing, is he hasn't been. He wasn't last year. He wasn't last year.
But I mean, think back to the DePaul Ham days, and everyone thought it was going to be this big, huge thing with Oryx got him, because he's a great player. This year, maybe it's just the atmosphere this year. Maybe he's playing better because he's not on a sinking ship like he was with Oryx last year.
Right. And that was part of it. But I think, and because you feel that pressure that you have to produce, that if you don't get it done, the guy behind you is not going to get it done. So you've got to try to take those pitches out of the zone and try to do something with them. And he just looks, that was the whole thing for me, because if he's swinging at pitches in the zone, he's going to make a lot of contact, and he's going to do a lot of damage. I mean, that swing is just amazing. But, yeah, what did he hit? He hit 306 last year. It was, and How it could be a bad 306, I don't know.
It didn't look like, he just didn't look like the Itoi that everyone had come to expect him to look like.
Right, but and, I mean, he's a 300 hitter lifetime in Japan, so, and with that swing, you just think that he could just go up there and say 1-2-3 and just swing every time and make a good enough contact to hit 300. So if he's actually concentrating, he should hit better than that. And he is. He looks zoned in terms of that. But I did talk to the Japanese beat reporter for our paper who's been covering the Tigers the past two seasons, and he said something, a couple things about Itoi, because I expected him, remember, he led the Pacific League in steals last year with 53. Right. And I said, well, he's only got a few this year. He hasn't really been running that much. What's the deal? And there were two things. Remember, he was coming off a knee injury, and I think it was he had a procedure done on his knee in the off season, and you know, he made it back to play center field, to be thrust into the center fielder role, which, you know, again, is not probably not the best for him, but that's what the team needs him to do, because there's really nobody else to play that spot of the guys. I mean, they probably could have Masahiro Nakatani do it, but I think you want a veteran guy out there, not a guy who's still learning. I'm looking at, he looks like a plus, not a plus defender, but he looks like a good defensive player in left, but I'd rather have somebody who's got experience out there and who won't wet the bed when a line drive comes to him. So yeah, that's probably the best place for him. But so I asked about the steals, and he said, "Well, there's two things." I said, "Is it one that Oryx was just, that's all they had? You know, they were in last place, they were going nowhere. They might as well have a guy who's leading the league. You know how Japanese teams do that, because they all say it's all for the team, but then as soon as they have a guy in position to get a individual honor, they let him do whatever. They'll put him in the leadoff spot so he can get more at bats, so he can steal more bases, so he can get them, he can win the stolen base title. But anyway, that was one of the reasons that this beat reporter said that he stole so many bases. That's all Oryx had going for it. And the other thing was because he had that knee procedure and he's still coming off injury, that he's probably not going to steal. But the one thing you look at is, you know, Tigers are doing well and scoring runs without him trying to generate runs, so they don't need it.
No, because they're getting it from, I mean, look at Fukudome. Fukudome is just hitting the ball all over the place. Toritani's hitting this year, or, you know, they've dropped him down in the lineup. They've taken shortstop away from him, and he's just responded by, you know, kind of bursting out of the gates with a pretty decent year so far. So,
well, yeah, that's my old theory, is if you treat somebody like they're dead, they start to show you, hey, I'm still alive.
Hashtag
I mean, they got this veteran trio right now, Itoi, Fukudome, and Toritani, that they're getting it done, and they just raising every ship. Nakatani's doing all right. And although I did see that, you know, because the age thing with Fukudome, they're going to start giving him some days off in the summer. I think they're going to play him maybe like 2 days on weekend series to try to preserve him. So somebody's going to have to step up on the days that Fukudome is not there. And they're still trying to find someone to hit fifth to stick in that role, be it Nakatani or Haraguchi. But I mean, what they're scoring, what, about shade under 4 runs a game? And so, yeah, they're getting it done at the plate, and that's helping out, because their pitchers are doing what they're more or less were doing last year. It's just they're having a few more runs to work with this year.
Yeah, when you do that, when you put some offense together with it, it makes a difference. And I mean, obviously we saw the big comeback from 9 runs down that set a club record for biggest comeback, but that just kind of stands out. They almost came back against the Giants in a game where they were down by a bunch of runs early, and they ended up losing 9-7. And that game was very much in jeopardy for the Giants, but they were able to pull it out. But the other thing I asked is about, I asked my buddy Nobuhiro Takashiro, who's the bench coach, and I asked him, I said, "What's up with this defense, man? What are you guys doing? What's the plan here?" And he said, without picking on everyone, he just said, "We're just not good. We're just very bad defensively." And I said, "Yes." And I said, "Well, what are you doing to fix that? Everyone can see that this is not a good defense." He says, "Hey, we're doing the only thing we can do. We practice." Oh, no, we practice hitting. Our best defense is with a bat. They should take the gloves off all those guys and just put a bat in their hands, and when the ball comes out, they just whack it over to first base.
Yeah, they're not. Yeah, go ahead. Pitching is actually helping their defense a lot, because they, their pitchers are, giving them a chance. They're not putting a ton of balls in play. It's just when the balls that do get in play is when they have their issues on balls in play. But right now, I mean, their pitchers are doing well. So, yeah.
They are.
And I don't know how long they can outrun this defense, though, would be the question for the Tigers for me, is how long can they outplay, outhit, outpitch their problems in the field.
And I brought it up last week, and I said all these extra pitches will take a toll on a staff collectively. And I asked the beat writer about the rotation, and it looks good. The rotation is something that was better than they're producing better than I expected them to produce. And Randy is at the front of that. He owns this rotation. He is the ace. He's the big man. Everybody's following his lead. Fujinami is doing well. Atsushi Nomi is doing well. I didn't expect him to do that well. I saw some drop off last year. I expected it to continue, but he has some bad moments. But overall, in the games that he's thrown, he hasn't been bad. Yuta Iwasara, a guy I've seen, he had a bad game this past week, but
yeah.
I've seen him have really good games.
Akiyama's doing well.
Akiyama is a guy I really like that guy. And yeah. I'm going to tell you why, and I don't want you to laugh at me. I think he's really great looking.
that's why?
No. I mean, he's a great looking guy, so I always root for him. And he's the kind of guy, he looks like a throwback kind of a Japanese baseball player. Like if you put him in an old uniform and took black and white photos of him, he would look, how Toritani has the hair going, and he just doesn't look like he's a throwback guy. He looks like he's a new wave kind of a guy. Akiyama seems to me just looks like one of those guys from the 50s. And I've always rooted for him, and I'm so glad to see him doing well this year. And it was nice of Randy to mention him in the chat, and I really root for that guy. And then they I talked to the beat writer. He said, well, they don't have that regular sixth guy. They're going to try to give that role to whomever seems hot on the farm or whatever, or somebody who's the guy of the moment. But the particular week that this week, they were only going to have five games, so they didn't really need that sixth guy to throw. And then they got rained out today. We're taping on Saturday, by the way, Saturday night. So Saturday night, Sunday morning, we still have a game. One more game before that's going to be played before this is posted, but we apologize. But their rotation is doing better than I thought. The relief corps is doing really well. I can see this team finishing well. They just got to do something about catching the ball and getting it over to first base a little bit better.
In the bullpen, Kintaro Kuwahara has.
Mm.
Yeah, he's done well this year, and he's been kind of a, I don't know if I would call him a revelation, but he's been better than I thought he was going to be.
Yeah, they've got guys, they've got arms. They've always had some arms coming out of the pen to get the job done, not consistently over decades, but in recent years they've had a slew of guys who've come out, and it just seems in the second half of the season it just doesn't hold up. And
yes.
So that's what I'm worried about here. When you're making all these extra pitches, and they're going to have elevator guys coming up and getting spot starts and doing work out of the bullpen and mop up work here and whatever. But the regular guys, the guys they want to count on, they're going to overuse them if they keep giving teams extra outs. And that's the thing that Randy and I were talking about too. He said it's not the errors, it's the balls that should be caught that. And turned into outs that aren't, and they go down as hits.
Right.
That's what's killing them.
Well, the only practice is going to, practice hasn't been getting it done for them, but they need somebody to get that sixth spot too. Like Aoyagi or whoever has got to come back up, and that would really help solidify them and give them something else to work with. But yeah, you're right. That's one of my biggest questions about them is, like I said, how long are they going to be able to outplay their defensive deficiencies that they seem to have at the moment.
All right. All right, well, making a two-seam transition, I want to talk about some other teams in the Central League. The Carp, for example. And are you like me? I'm just waiting for the Carp to hit a rock or do something and either fall apart or put it together. Like, they seem to be, they started out, you know, with that 10-game winning streak after the first game, and then
they forgot how to pitch.
And then, yeah, they hit a tough spot. Now, either, you know, I think they're going to come to a crossroads where they're going to say, hey, look, we're a good team. And it's not like they're dying. And they're 6 games over .500 as we speak, and they won today on Saturday. They beat up the Giants pretty good. Brad Eldred, a couple home runs. But they just seem like they're not the same group. And this is why I picked them to finish second. It's really hard to repeat. We all talked about that during the prediction show. But they just seem out of it. I don't even know. I can't put my finger on it. Not necessarily that big loss that they had to the Tigers where they couldn't hold a 9-0 lead. Not necessarily some of the games where it seemed like they could get past the Swallows and then the Swallows jumped up and bit them and beat them in those games. They just don't seem to have that magic, that hand of God.
God-like quality.
Yeah, the hand of God thing that they had last year.
Serendipity.
Whatever it is. What are you seeing?
Honestly, I'm just seeing a team that's not – they can't get people out when they need to get them out. I mean, they're still scoring a ton of runs, and they're still hitting fairly decently. It's just maybe last year they kind of had a lot of guys outside of Johnson and Nomura just have a lot of things go right for them in the pitching staff. And maybe this year not everything is going right. They're not getting those same outs. And some of those balls that went right at – fielders aren't going at fielders this year. Maybe I haven't looked at their average on balls in play to see if it's particularly out of whack or not. Because if it is, then they're going to return to the mean eventually. And if it's not, it could just be a product of their pitchers just not having the type of seasons that they were having last year. Which we see that a lot of times with teams that kind of jump up and win, like Rockton did. Those guys had really good seasons in 2013 when Tanaka was there, and then they all just fell off the table the very next year. Mm. Although I would say it's a little different with the Carp because Rockton really came out of nowhere. The Carp, we all saw them coming.
Mm, but yes, that's true.
But their pitcher.
Especially me. Well, hey, I mean, man, I'm not going to get anything right this year. I might as well live off of last year's.
And they're going to get Johnson back probably at the end of the month and into interleague, which although they historically have not done well in interleague, even though they tore it up last year,
right?
Did they? But anyway, so I just think they got to get their pitching under control. And it's right now I'm willing to just kind of write it off as a blip, as where a lot of the breaks that were for them last year aren't going for them this year, because for the most part they're still hitting, they're still scoring, they're just not pitching, and for whatever reason they're giving up a ton of runs. And That's biting them in the butt like it's done against the Swallows, where they haven't been able to get the big hit, or like it's done against some other teams. So today is the kind of game that the Carp have been winning, 11-2. They're either going to blow you out or they're going to get beat close, it seems.
At first Takahiro Arai was whacking balls all over the place. It looked like he's going to have a career high in home runs. The ratings was hitting them.
And you remember how old he was.
And then something hit him back, you know. And
one of those bones popped.
The defense up the middle still strong. The best 1-2 punch in Japan in the middle infield as well. And you know, I don't see any drop off there. It's just that I don't. Maybe you're right. I see the pitching staff in terms of obviously Shota Nakazaki not being there at the back of the bullpen, and then bringing out Takeru Iwamura to save games. He's got saves. I used to call him the human run producer, but he's got the saves, and he pitched well the other night to hold down the Swallows for a little while, and he got the save in the middle game, a game they won 8-7, but they lost 2 out of 3, you know, and. Jay Jackson looks good in his role. He's, I would say, a slightly better than version of himself the past couple of years, and then there are fewer base runners out there. But you know, he's not going to strike everybody out, and they just need, you know, one, maybe when Shota Nakazaki is back, and do we expect him back this year?
He's going to be back this year, but we don't, when he's going to come back, I don't know.
Okay. Hopefully that'll be sooner than later. And then, you know, I see them, they're making up for the loss of Hiroki Kuroda, if you can believe it. You know, Akitake Okada is doing well. I mean, I don't think you could ask for more out of a second year pitcher than you're going to get from him. Alan Cootie, Jim Allen has talked about him a lot, and he got blown up the other day, but he's basically been really good for them. So I think they're making up those innings, and as far as the starters, Yuya Fukui didn't do so well the other day. But, I mean, you're right. They have these games where they just, you know, they're not competitive on the mound, and it makes it hard to be competitive in the outcome. But they sort of are in the scoreboard. But speaking of not competitive, I did want to rant a little bit about the Dragons, because it just looks like they're not trying to win games at all this year. And I say that because I've looked at Dion Viciedo, and he's useful. He's more useful with the glove than he is with the bat. And I know he's been hot, I guess, for a week now.
Did he hit a home run today?
He hit a game-winning home run today in the ninth inning. Yeah, and he hit another one earlier in the week, but he just hasn't been useful, and they keep running him out there, and Shige Kazumori, the first-year manager, just seems to be making decisions at a whim, and, you know, everybody knows I like the Dragons, and I picked them because I thought their pitching staff was going to be interesting. I still think we haven't seen what that staff is going to do, but some of the options they've been throwing out there on the mound don't seem to be. I mean, as much as I laugh every time I say the name Daisuke Yamai, you basically think you can get five innings out of the guy and throw him out there. So why not do that if you think you're going to win? Because right now, trying to throw all these pitchers, they've got Katsuki Matayoshi, who's worked his way into the rotation because he was good out of the bullpen. That weakened their bullpen.
Because they have no other options.
Because they have fewer reliable options to come out there. I just think they've given up on trying to win this year. They're trying to work players, trying to get them experience. And if that's the case, Viciedo doesn't seem like he's a solution to me. They did bring up Shuhei Takahashi. He did get in a couple games. But anyway, I don't like what they're doing, so I'm totally off that ship. I usually don't change my.
Which was the New York Knicks player that said "ship be sinking"? That's basically what's going on there.
#high heat.
But I said it during the summer or during the winter, and I still think it. They should have hired Ogasawara for that job, and it looked as if they were going to, and then all of a sudden, Morey's still there because Morey had his audition.
Yes, he did.
And, you know, he was a great pitching coach. And he was a pitching coach during a time where they had really great success before they decided that Hiromitsu Ochiai wasn't as friendly as they wanted him to be. So they kicked him out for not filling the seats. All he did was fill the rafters with pennants and championships. But he wasn't as friendly, and so they kicked him out. And the next guy, I forgot his name. He used to be a former player, but he wasn't any good. And I didn't got Morey there. And, you know, like you said, the decisions that Morey's made have been questionable. I don't understand why they didn't give it to Ogasawara. He did a good job for them on the farm team. And I believe, I don't know if it was on this show or if Jim told me himself, but Jim said, you know, Jim did mention that a lot of farm team managers have success because they know the organization as a whole. They know what they've got on the farm, if they've got anybody down there that can help them. And you see, and maybe that's why you see a lot of farm team managers come up and have some sort of success. But, you know, Morey, I didn't like the hire. I thought it should have been Ogasawara from the beginning. And, you know, it's just kind of validated with some of the decisions that he's been making. And I loved it when he was the pitching coach. I was in the Morey fan club back then. But, you know, now just – it's in shambles. They've got Valdez is, you know, he's their best pitcher. He could probably be one of their best hitters. So
unfortunately,
that tells you everything.
I'd like to see a pinch hit for Viciedo, that's for sure.
I'm sure he would like to hit for himself a lot of these games.
I'm sure he'd like to hit somebody some of these games. All right, well, making a four-seam transition, I want to talk about the PL a little bit. Now, what's your biggest surprise this season overall in NPB?
Oh, my God. The biggest – well, it's not a good surprise. It's the how bad the Marines have been, and it's just dumpster fire bad. I mean,
I was thinking of how to phrase this, and I came up with three expressions. So you tell me which one you think is appropriate or applicable to the Marines: the dumpster fire, the train wreck, or the hurricane evacuation situation.
I like dumpster fire.
Yeah, that's not big enough.
They should put all their bats in the dumpster and set them on fire.
That's not big enough, man. This is train wreck. There's hundreds of people's lives at stake here. Not trash.
God.
Not just trash. I'm gonna say train wreck. I don't think it's the evacuation situation because it's still early.
It's you lose the one player that you want. Well, he's not the one player, but Despaigne, your one like kind of big source of offense, your one just immediate offensive threat, and you take him out. I don't know if they've whiffed on the two new foreign guys that they've got, but so far they have. It's too early to say that they whiffed on those guys, but yeah, Kakunaka he hadn't done anything, and yeah, I mean, they had a good game today, so they scored five, six runs today.
But they gave up 11.
Scored a week's worth of runs today.
Yeah, Seiya Inoue, the man they call Aja, supposed to be, you know, he wasn't elevating the ball, and I said that earlier, he's getting hits, but he's not elevating the ball. There's some pitches that he could have driven, but he's just bouncing them. I mean, he's getting hits with them, but they need power, and that was my thing is, when I did the prediction, I think I had them finishing in fifth, and I said, I don't think they have enough power. And yet you see, they need three hits just to get a run. And it's hard to come up with three hits in an inning for consecutive innings, or pushing a walk and a stolen base and a sacrifice and hoping to get a wild pitch and an error to get a score. It hasn't been. But they've been way worse than I expected. They're 16 games under 500 as we speak. They're hitting
188 as a team.
188 as a team, and the ERA is north of
4.77.
4.5. Yeah, it's just a mess. And
the one hope maybe they have is that, I mean, as bad as they are, this it almost seems kind of like flukishly bad, and it because even some of the worst teams that you can remember, I mean, what team do you know that's get in like 35 games into the season and their batting average as a team can't crack 200. They've only got one qualified batter, which is Suzuki, and he's only hitting 263, and nobody else is near him. I mean, this is it's flukishly bad. So maybe some they're going to flip some switch and get their average up to 215 or something, but you know, they're not going to, it doesn't seem like they're going to do anything. You know, they lost to Despaigne, and nobody else has played well. And the two new guys they have given them nothing. And it's just, I feel for the Marines fans. Those are some brave people going out there cheering every game for that bunch, because they're not giving them anything to cheer for right now. And I didn't think they were going to be good. I think I picked them fifth too, but I remember saying it was going to be, because I didn't know where they were going to get any runs from, but I didn't think they were going to be this bad.
Right. They had a game on Friday at Tokyo Dome against the Fighters that was basically a fireable offense. I mean, I don't know how to put it. They lost 15-1. They gave up 7 home runs. Hideaki Wakui, the ace, because Ayumu Ishikawa is on the farm because it's poor performance or whatever, yeah. I want to call it poor performance / WBC fatigue / made up excuse. Wakui served up 6 home runs in the game, and that was the most in a game in PL history and the most in NPB by one pitcher in a game since 1958. He's just the third pitcher to do that. It was a career worst 10 runs. And he did all that damage in 4 1/3 innings. Four and well, a they third.
They left him in to do all that damage.
That's not leaving anybody in. Four and a third innings. Like, hey, we just got to the game. What's going on? Oh, it's 11 to 1 to nothing. We're losing. I mean, come on. The Fighters hit 7 home runs in the game. That tied their club record, which they set in 1950. This was an ugly, ugly thing to happen. And I thought, you know, Tsutomu Ito, the manager, he's got to be. I mean, I figured he was turning over night after night after night and not getting any sleep. But I expected somebody to be fired on Saturday morning, and nobody was. So they're struggling.
Bring the farm team up.
they started guys like they've given. I don't think they started Tadahito Iguchi, but I think they might.
He got a start early in the year. Well, it's been a while ago.
They're trying to push every button. Kazuya Fukuda, he got a start the other day, and he's the kind of guy. If you start him, you got to give him 4 days off to so he can recover.
You got to have an ice bath in the dugout for those
games.
Right,
in between innings. I just, you know, I see a group that lacks power. And this is the thing is because they're lacking power, pitchers they're not worried about pitching around anybody. You know,
right.
Like, you're going to hit our pitch or you're going to walk. And we don't care if we load the bases because we don't think that you can hit a home run and really damage us. Even if you get a hit, that's, you know, a couple runs, we can handle that. You guys don't score that much. So
a couple runs.
Yeah, and they're not pitching, they're not hitting. So, I mean, the defense, I haven't seen ugly defense, but it hasn't been that defense that we've seen under Ito there. I would say that they've taken a step back or they've dropped the level down here, and I can't tell you why. Taiga Hirasawa, they're going to have to give him, he looks like he's going to be a player, so you got to leave him out there. And he's not great yet, but he's developing, he's learning, and he's getting better.
This is the type of team where around the All-Star break or just after the manager takes a rest. One of those rests that they never come back for, the eternal sleep.
You stole my line. I was going to say, Ito's going to do one of those, you know, step through the back and then kind of slip out the back when the lights go out, you know?
I'm not resigning. I'm just taking a break for now.
I'm just taking a break. I'll see you on, you know, Pro Yaku News.
I'll see you in the broadcast booth.
Yeah, but we'll see. I mean, I just don't. I'm shocked.
I wouldn't put this all on Ito though, because I mean, to be fair, they have given him nothing.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, when he's got to go to guys like Fukuda and Iguchi, that's him. That's a cry for help.
Yeah, the cupboard is bare. So he might take a breath. He might take a rest, but it'll just be to save his own sanity.
Hashtag high heat.
Yeah, I'm with you. I didn't expect him to be this bad. I would say train wreck in slow motion is what I'm seeing from them. Let's go to the Lions just really quickly. I expected them to be doing a little bit better than they're doing. However, they're at 500, and that's with a rotation that's kind of iffy, if you ask me. You say Kikuchi had a good game the other day. He has been their main guy. He seems like he has found it.
Wolf had a good game the other day. They just lost, but
Wolf has been really good for them all season. He's made quality starts all season.
So far they've had two very good pitchers, and then the third day they've had, you know, what are we going to get out of Nogami today? And then after that, it's just let's close our eyes and hope we get a good game out of whoever we're throwing out there next.
Yeah, Kona Takahashi, who I expected to do well, and I saw some of his off-season workout stuff, and I was expecting bigger and better things from him, and we haven't seen that. Although he won a game the other day, he gave up a couple runs early on, but then toughed it out and actually got the win because the Lions came back. And they're scoring runs. We knew they were going to mash. They're mashing.
Yeah.
They're scoring runs. They look good that way. If they can just figure out this pitching situation and get better. I mean, they have.
It has to be frustrating for Tsuji, too, because their defense isn't like. It's not as bad as it was last year, at least early. I mean, it's still okay, but they look better in the field. They're not making as many mistakes as they used to make in the field. It's just they don't have any you know, after Wolf and Kikuchi, they don't really have much to show for it. They got some guys who are average, and so one day they're going to be good, one day they're not going to be good, and they're not going to be able to hit that every day.
Yes, yes. Shin Saburo Tawata, I was expecting better things from him. Ken Togami, I was expecting a little bit more consistency from him. Nogami is just a guy who throws.
Why were you expecting consistency out of Turtle King?
Out of who?
Togami.
Out of Togami? I thought he was going to progress. Thought he was going to get better. I like it. Nah.
Tawata's a little banged up, though. So it could have been whatever is up with his shoulder he might have been dealing with something, because I think they did send him down because he has some kind of shoulder thing going on. So yeah. And then, he could come back and be a little bit better. I like him. So
yeah, I like him too. And I saw one of his bullpen sessions one day when I went there this year, and he's got really nasty movement on his pitches, but I don't think he knows where they're going sometimes, and that gets into problems, and he ends up having to throw straight stuff to get strikes. But Ryoma Nogami is another guy. I mean, he's just out there, you know, and maybe his long bullpen sessions have caught up with him. Maybe he should stop throwing 400-pitch bullpen sessions in the spring and save the 400 pitches for the real contest.
I know, yeah. Save some of the bullets.
Yeah, yeah.
But to be honest, I mean, at the moment right now, I think Seibu's fine. I think they're just... You know, they've got to get something, like you said, they've got to get something going on the mound. But I think for the most part, right now, they're fine. I mean, they haven't been horrible on the mound. They just haven't been consistent at the back end. They can get something going at the back end. Kikuchi can actually have a whole season of being good, and Wolf can too. I don't think they're gonna like winning the pennant fine, but I think they're gonna be fine. I don't think there's any cause for panic in Tokorozawa just yet.
Well, especially not with that kid. He's really fast, becoming one of my favorite players in MPB is Sosuke Genda. I just want to see what he does in the field. Whenever you know I turn on Pa-League TV, I make sure to put the Lions game in front where I can see it. So when they're in the field, because I want to see what he does. And he's almost hitting 300. Remember I said at the beginning, if the guy can hit at all, if he hits, you know, 205, as long as he's over 200, they will put him out there. And he's cleaning, he's vacuuming stuff up at shortstop. And
he's just so good. Yeah, he's just so good.
I really like watching. And he's fast. You know, that triple that he had the other day, he was around. It looked like a regular double. And he was around second base, and he just left streaks on second base and went around the third base. I'm really liking what I'm seeing from him. And if they can,
he was what Nagai was supposed to be. No, Kyosuke Nagai, I think that's his name. He was the one that was supposed to be just this great player and take over for Nakajima. And yeah, but Genda, man, he's something. I've been excited about him since the draft, and to actually see him play during the spring, and he hit a little bit and he won the job, and he's just been really good there. He's worth watching.
Yeah, I think the third round draft pick and a guy, you know, it just shows you that late bloomers are out there, and you just have to find them. I was a late bloomer, so I always root for the late bloomers. I should say was. I still am a late bloomer, but a guy who went to college and then played in corporate ball, and now he's finally getting a chance. And man, he's hitting 300 in the Pacific League. You know he can play. So this is no accident. All right. One note before we go. Norichika Aoki, who's now playing with the Houston Astros, is approaching 2,000 hits combined in MPB and MLB. And as we usually do, I like to talk about his place in Japanese baseball history and whether he's Hall of Fame worthy. Your thoughts? I think I'll read off some of the stats. You know, he was the first player in the Central League in MPB to record 200 hits in a season. I think that was 2005.
He did it again. I think Matt set the record, and then Aoki won the batting title.
So he won three batting titles in Japan. And, you know, 344, 346, and 358, they weren't cheap batting titles. And then he went to the States, where he went to Milwaukee in 2006. And that was that first year with Milwaukee, he had a WAR of 3.4, so almost 3.5. And it's gone down ever since then. And he's been with 5 teams in the major leagues in 6 years. He's hitting .286 in Major League Baseball, but he's a .329 lifetime batter in MPB. So when he gets to 2,000 hits, where do you think he's going to stand in terms of the Hall of Fame?
Okay. Yeah, Jim is so much better at this kind of Hall of Fame stuff than I am.
Whatever.
I think Aoki's he's going in. I mean, he's done. It's the stuff that he's done. You know, I don't know how many guys have hit 200 had 200 hits in the season twice, but Aoki's done it twice. And you know, he won the batting title the year Merton broke the record. And yeah, I think his numbers are going to get him. His MPB numbers were pretty good, and then he hasn't embarrassed himself in the major leagues. He's had some productive years in the major leagues. So, yeah, I think Aoki is going to get the call, but you can never really say with the Japanese Hall of Fame, though, some of the calls they make and how long it takes them to put some guys in, but I think Aoki's probably worthy.
Yeah, you can never say with the foreign guys, I think, in the Hall of Fame, but with the Japanese players, especially guys like Aoki, who have put a long career together. We're talking about 2004 was his first year, and I mean, he only got a little drink of water in the first year, but then he was a regular in MPB with Yakult after that, and I think they're going to put him in if he gets to 2000. Simply because he has done a decent job in the major leagues. He didn't go over there and completely flop.
Right.
He has been a decent hitter over there, probably better than the U.S. teams give him credit for. And he used to play center field. We used to think he was a center fielder. And they took him out of a game the other day against the Yankees, and a good thing too, because they ended up winning the game because his replacement threw out the tying run at the plate for the third out in the last
time. As long as they just strike the WBC from the record this year, then he'll be all right.
So I think he gets in, but I'm not sure. I think he would be on the fence for me. And I like what he did, even defensively as a Yakult Swallows player. I guess I'd be on the fence. He'd have to do something to push me over the edge, like I don't know. I guess I'd have to compare his numbers to somebody who's comparable. I don't know too many guys who are comparable who Shinjo didn't do enough here. I don't think he gets in anyway. Jojima didn't do enough in the States. I don't think he gets in. I don't think either one of those guys has 2,000 hits. I guess Norihiro Nakamura is somebody like him. Nakamura obviously didn't do well in the States, but he got his 2,000 hits. He did play in the States, and I guess he's another guy I think would probably get in. So I guess in the end, I think he gets in, but for me, he'd be on the fence.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in total agreement. I think he's going to get. How many 2,000 hit guys aren't in? He's going to get the 2,000 hits, and that's going to be enough for them to put him in eventually, before his eligibility runs out after whenever he retires, he's going to get in.
Yeah, I have to agree. All right, we have some questions, but we're going to save them because I'm sure Jim wanted to respond to one of them, and the other one still on the back burner. Jason wasn't prepared for them. Hopefully Jim will explain the reasons why he wasn't able to record on the show this week, but if he, I'll leave that up to him. I won't spill the beans. I'll keep him in the pot. And anyway, if you do have a question for us, send it to yakyujohn@gmail.com. Hit us up on Twitter @JBWPodcast with the hashtag #HighHeat. Leave us a note on the Facebook page. Thank you very much, Jason, for sitting in and pinch hitting. You did a good job. I have to give you I'm going to go to video review, and we're going to come out and whirl our hands in the air and say you hit a home run for us.
More than the Marines.
Hashtag high heat.
All right, everybody. Thank you very much for listening, and enjoy your baseball.
See you at the ballpark.